Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with the visions of Amos as we pick up in Amos chapter 1, verse 1. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
Let's turn now to the book of Amos. In the first verse of Amos, he introduces himself. These are the words of Amos, who was among the herdmen, or a shepherd, at Tekoa. Now, Tekoa is a little valley going down toward the Dead Sea from the area of Bethlehem. Actually, if you're standing on Herodion, that fortress that Herod built sort of east of Bethlehem, looking south, you are looking into the valley of Tekoa, the area from which Amos came. He was a herdsman, and then in chapter 7, he tells us that he was a fruit picker. He picked the sycamore fruit, which was the fig. So he was not a prophet. He was not the son of a prophet. He was not from the line of ministers. He was just a common, ordinary person like all of us are. And yet, while he was there watching his sheep, God spoke to him to go up to the northern kingdom and to prophesy against them. So suddenly there appeared in Bethel this prophet of God, Amos, who before this was nothing more than just a shepherd, a fruit picker, and God spoke to him, and he went up and began to prophesy to the house of Israel. These are the words of Amos, which he saw concerning Israel. Now, so often we read at the beginning of a book, the word of the Lord, which came to the prophet saying. But Amos doesn't say this is the word of the Lord. He said these are the words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw. So it puts, of course, the divine attestation upon it here, which he saw. So Amos saw these visions from the Lord. And he saw them concerning the northern kingdom of Israel. And these visions came to him during the time that Uzziah was the king in Judah. So it puts him really just a little before Isaiah. Isaiah began his prophecy at the death of Uzziah. Remember in the sixth chapter in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, sitting upon the throne. His train did fill the temple. And Isaiah exercised his ministry mainly during the times of Hezekiah. So during the time of Uzziah, who was a prosperous king in Judah, reigned for 52 years. And in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, the king of Israel, and then he dates the prophecy even further, 2 years before the earthquake. Now in these years, and somewhere between the year 810 and 792, there was a tremendous earthquake that devastated that whole area. An earthquake that was so severe that according to Zechariah, the people fled from that area, terrified. Isaiah makes mention of this great earthquake that shook that whole region also. And here again, a reference to the great earthquake. And so these prophecies that he received were a couple of years before this great earthquake. So we can put his area of ministry somewhere around 800 BC, give or take, a few years in either side. Jeroboam was one of the most successful of the kings in Israel as far as bringing the nation to its zenith of glory. During the time that Jeroboam was the king in Israel, Israel was very prosperous from a material standpoint. They were very rich in the material things, but they were very poor in spiritual things. And so Amos comes to awaken them spiritually unto God. He begins his prophecy by declaring, And he said, the Lord will roar from Zion. When Jesus Christ comes again, according to Joel, Hosea speaks about it, and now Amos also speaks about it. He will roar from Zion. He will utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither. Thus saith the Lord. And now God speaks of the judgment that is going to come against the surrounding nations of Israel. And in each of them, he declares, for three transgressions and for four. Now, he doesn't name four indictments against each. For three transgressions and for four is a figure of speech which just is declaring the cup of God's indignation is full and is going to overflow now in judgment against Damascus. And Damascus is the first, the capital of Syria. I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have threshed Gilead with threshing instruments of iron. They came with their iron chariots, and they destroy Gilead. I will send a fire into the house of Hazael, which shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. When Elijah the prophet had fled from Jezebel and had hid in the cave down in the Sinai, the word of the Lord came to Elijah the prophet, saying, Elijah, what are you doing here? Now, in reality, he was hiding from Jezebel. Really wasn't doing much of anything. And he said, I've been jealous for God, and they have killed all of the prophets of God, and I only am left, and they are looking for me to take my life. God, you're in trouble. You don't have anybody left representing you except me, and they're out to get me. The word of the Lord came the second time to Elijah, saying, Elijah, what are you doing here? Elijah didn't understand the question the first time, so the Lord repeated it. He still didn't understand it, gave the Lord the same lame answer. And the Lord said, Elijah, get up to Syria and anoint Hazael to be the king over Syria in Ben-Hadad's place. In other words, you're not doing anything down here. I've got a work for you to do. Get out of here and get back to work now. And God commissioned the prophet back to the ministry. Now, when he came to Hazael and went to anoint him and to prophesy over him, he began to weep, just began to sob. And Hazael said, what's going on? What's the matter with you? And he said, I see the evil that you are going to do to the people of God. I see you ripping up the women who are pregnant. I see the horrible, cruel things that you're going to do to the servants of God. And Hazael said, am I a dog that I should do these things? And he was quite upset. And yet, the scripture records that Hazael came against Israel and did do exactly these things. And because of that, now the time of judgment has come. And for three transgressions, yea, for four against Damascus, their punishment will not really be passed by. God will surely punish them. And God speaks of the punishment. I will send a fire into the house of Hazael, this king who was anointed by Elijah and was so cruel, which shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad, which was his successor, who he assassinated in order to take the throne. I will break the bar of Damascus and cut off the inhabitant from the plain of Avon, and him that holds the scepter from the house of Eden. And the people of Syria shall go into captivity unto Kir, saith the Lord. Now, Kir was in Assyria, and just as God predicted through Amos here, the Assyrians came, they captured and destroyed Syria, and they took those of Damascus captives to Kir back in Assyria, and thus the prophecy was literally fulfilled. Now he prophesies against the Philistines and the country of the Philistines. Now there were five major cities of the Philistines. I think four of them come into view in this prophecy. Gaza was one of the chief cities of the Philistines. And then Ekron and Ashdod and Ashkelon, the major cities there in the Philistine territory. Now, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza, and for four I will not turn away the punishment thereof. And the indictment that God gives against them, they carried away captive the whole captivity to deliver them to Edom. And so in their conquering of the people of God, they turned the captives or sold them to the Edomites, their perennial enemy. But I will send a fire upon the wall of Gaza, or Gaza, which shall devour the palaces thereof. And I will cut off the inhabitant from Ashdod, the coastal fortress, and him that holds the scepter from Ashkelon, another coastal city. And I will turn my hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, saith the Lord God. How many of you have met a Philistine lately? No, you see, God's word came to pass. The Philistines were wiped out. They don't exist anymore. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyrus. Now, Tyrus was that coastal city which was the headquarters of the ancient Phoenicians. It was a very wealthy, prosperous, and powerful kingdom. Their merchant ships ruled the Mediterranean, and they carried the goods from the east to the marketplaces of Europe. Tyrus had been consistently a friend of Israel. David and Hiram had made a covenant together, which was carried on by Solomon, the son of David. And Hiram, the king of Tyre, furnished the cedars for David's palace and later for the great temple of Solomon. But in time, Tyrus also turned against Israel. And thus the prophecy against Tyrus. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyrus, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they delivered up the whole captivity unto Edom. The same indictment that was against the Philistines. However, he adds, and they remembered not the brotherly covenant. That beautiful brotherly covenant that was made between David and Hiram. For Hiram was a great admirer of David. But they broke that covenant that had been made. Now, as we see the judgment of God coming against these various nations around Israel, Syria, the Philistines, Tyrus, next the Edomites, and then the Ammonites, and then the Moabites, In each case, the judgment is coming because of their ill treatment of God's people, the children of Israel. Now, God's people were in the wrong. And God was judging his people because they were in the wrong. But God had said, "You're not to touch my anointed and do my prophets no harm." And God had said to Abraham, "I will bless those that bless you and I will curse those that curse you." And I don't care how wrong the children of God are, don't you touch them. You know, my kids may be brats, but don't you touch them. I'll do the correction of my children. If someone else should come in and touch my children, then I rise in defense for them. And so with God and his children, though they were wrong, though they deserved the punishment, that's something that God reserved for himself. I'll take care of them. Don't you touch them. And so it is, I believe, even to the present day, that God still blesses those that bless them and curses those that curse them. And when the day of judgment will come, when Christ comes again, Matthew 25, and he gathers the nations for judgment, the nations will be judged according to their treatment of the nation of Israel. No nation has remained prosperous who dared to put a hand against the people of God, the nation of Israel. I would be very, very careful about what I said or did that would be contrary to the nation of Israel. And so in each of these cases, it was because of their mistreatment of God's people that God is judging them. So I will send a fire upon the wall of Tyrus that will devour the palaces thereof. And that, of course, took place under Nebuchadnezzar. A partial fulfillment, it was completed by Alexander the Great. And Tyrus was destroyed. Ezekiel gives a more complete prophecy against Tyrus, describing in great detail the two sieges of Tyrus, first by Nebuchadnezzar and later by Alexander the Great. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom. Now, Edom was south and east of Israel. It is south and east of the area of the Dead Sea, an area that today is pretty much barren wilderness. I will not turn away the punishment thereof because he did pursue his brother. Now, the Edomites were descendants of Esau. Esau was the brother of Jacob. And thus, God still looks at them as a brotherly relationship. The Edomites were really kin to or brothers to because Jacob and Esau were twin brothers. And yet, the hatred that Esau had for Jacob never ceased in the descendants. The Edomites were the perennial enemies of Israel. Every opportunity they had, they attacked. Whenever Israel would be occupied with an enemy from the north, they'd always attack from the south. They sought to take advantage of every situation to destroy Israel. There was a hatred constantly simmering and kindling among the Edomites. The last recorded Edomite was, of course, the house of Herod, Herod the Great, and his descendants. From then on, the Edomites have been lost from history. Herod was an Edomian, an Edomite. And so God promises the judgment because they did pursue their brothers with a sword. They had no pity. And in their anger, they tore perpetually and their wrath never ceased. So I will send a fire upon Teman, which was, of course, the capital of Edom. And it shall devour the palaces of Bozrah. Thus saith the Lord, and now we turn to Ammonites. And the word Ammon is changed the pronunciation, the spelling is the same, and you have Amman, the modern capital of Jordan, and you have also the area of Ammon, and the Ammonites was directly east from Jerusalem across the Great African Rift in the area that today is Amman. And for the transgressions of the children of Ammon, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have ripped up the women with child of Gilead. Gilead, of course, was soundly defeated by the Syrians, and they came into judgment for it, and now also the Ammonites, that they might enlarge their border. I thought that was interesting. They came over into the West Bank to enlarge their borders. Times really haven't changed that much, have they? We're still having problems because Jordan was driven from the West Bank and in the 1967 war, and there's still that endeavor to, again, take control of the West Bank.
We'll continue with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Amos on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Amos 1 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you. Bless you and keep you. May He bring you into a fresh awareness of His presence. And may you experience a fresh work of God within your lives. And may you come into a deeper relationship of love. Love for God and love for each other. And especially, may God give you a heart of praise and rejoicing, so that your life might be pleasing to Him as you rejoice the Lord always. God bless and God keep.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
What does the future hold?
Is the end of time really near?
When will the church be raptured?
What is the rapture?
Will we see the Antichrist?
What about the Great Tribulation?
Join Pastor Chuck Smith as he answers these and many more questions about the end times in his exciting book, Final Act. Now available in hardcover, Pastor Chuck gives great insight into man's final days here on earth.
Joe Rosenberg calls Final Act a powerful, provocative end times primer. Tim LaHaye states, this unique and dramatic treatment is both true to scripture and practical.
Read about this exciting drama and get answers to your questions on world wars, the Antichrist, the Great Tribulation, the Second Coming, and more.
For more information on how to order your copy, visit us online at thewordfortoday.org or call toll-free at 1-800-272-WORD. That's 1-800-272-9673.